You're listening to the Wellspring Podcast, dedicated to quenching your thirst for bygone days. I'm Gwen Toonman, an author digging into the past for details that will form the bedrock of my novels and short stories. Today we're venturing back to the Klondike to visit Soapy Smith, gangster of the Klondike. I don't always remember names, but I remember this one, Soapy Smith. A few years ago, I read a copy of The Klondike Quest by Pierre Burton. The book belongs to my mother-in-law and carries great sentimental value as it was a gift from her sister who moved to the Klondike several years ago. I read a phrase discreetly tucked away in a caption on page 36. Jefferson Randolph Soapy Smith, the confidence man who became Skagway's dictator. A brief sentence followed, stating that Smith had died in a gunfight. The scant information conjured Wild West images of shootouts and gunslingers. Confidence man, I soon learned, is another term for con artist. The following summer, I crossed paths with Soapy again in Charles Wilkins' The Wild Ride, a history of Northwest Mounted Police, 1873-1904. There was a photo of a sign posted by a vigilance committee. They were sworn to ridding Skagway, Alaska of criminals, namely Soapy Smith's gang. The sign read, "Warning, a word to the wise should be sufficient. All confidence, bunco, and sure thing men, and all other objectionable characters are notified to leave Skagway and White Pass Road immediately, and to remain away. Failure to do so will be followed by prompt action." The sign was dated March 8, 1898. The men and women of the 1890s who sought their fortune in the Klondike endured horrendous conditions in order to do so. Upon arriving in Skagway, they were understandably anxious to assure families back home of the safe conclusion to their journey. They were greeted into Smith's telegraph shop, where they'd pay a substantial fee to send a telegram. There was one hitch. Legitimate telegraph wires did not exist in Skagway until 1901. The telegraph wires used by Smith's operators passed through the wall of the office, but were not connected to anything outside the building. The newcomers were fleeced. Soapy Smith's parlor was often referred to as the real city hall of Skagway. Smith owned an assortment of businesses that specialized in cheating patrons. His gang members, often dressed as clergy or newspaper men, would greet newcomers to Skagway. They would gain a person's confidence, then direct them to a prearranged location where a second gangster would lie in wait. After robbing the victim, the criminals would invite him to join the gang. If the member declined the offer, Soapy would appear dressed as a preacher and give him enough money to return home. Soapy's followers numbered 150. The men shared a common lack of conscience and a penchant for violence. In addition to operating in his establishments, his men also turned their trade in saloons and brothels owned by other people. They befriended patrons, invited them to play poker, then proceeded to cheat them out of their gold. Business owners turned a blind eye to illegal activities and accepted a cut of the profits. Some businesses paid protection money to the scoundrels as well. The Wild Ride tells the reader that Smith procured the allegiance of the U.S. Marshal by doubling the salary paid to him by Skagway authorities. In her book, Gold Diggers, Charlotte Gray goes on to explain that the marshal also enjoyed a portion of Smith's ill-gotten gains. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Soapy Smith met his violent end on July 7, 1898, when he and his men victimized the wrong miner. They cheated the man out of a sack of gold valued at around $2,800. When the miner challenged Soapy and his crew, they snatched the gold and fled. The vigilance group demanded the immediate return of the man's gold, but the thieves refused. The following evening, Soapy and one of his guards died in a gunfight at the waterfront. While not an admirable character, Smith certainly is a fascinating one. He was born to a wealthy and highly educated Southern family. His father was a lawyer and his grandfather a plantation owner. The family fell to financial ruin after the Civil War. Smith operated in Texas, Colorado, and finally, Alaska. The path that led him to this life interests me. I've scratched the surface here and will certainly return to the topic of Soapy Smith. He sparks my imagining and will most certainly become the foundation of a future character. That's it for today's episode of the Wellspring Podcast. If you'd enjoy the vintage photography found in the original blog post, please visit gwentuman.com. That's GWENTUIMAN.com and search Soapy Smith. Please share the article or this podcast on your social media. You can hear more of this great music at CherylCastleman.com. The link appears on the Wellspring Podcast page of my website. Thanks for joining me. I'm so glad you're here. Stay inspired, keep smiling, and we'll chat again soon.